Want to say good morning and welcome to everyone who is arriving in our city for the big Skills Canada National Competition. They're coming from coast to coast, opening ceremonies today, and the competition really cranks up tomorrow and runs through Saturday. There's more than 500 students from Canada and apprentices who will be showcasing their skills through something like 40-plus skill trade and technology competitions. It's a massive show on over at the Real District. And because of it, there's hardly a hotel room in Regina right now. That and the big Subaru AAA Regina Spring Hockey Classic that's on this weekend at the Cooperators. Together, combined with all the people coming from out of town for these, there's not a hotel room. I think last I checked with the Hotel Association, they said something like 98% capacity right now. So welcome to the city. The Western Canadian Baseball League opens up their season this week. The defending East Division champion Moose Jaw Miller Express are back in action tonight, as a matter of fact, against the defending league champion Okotoks Dogs in Medicine Hat. The Miller will be home Friday night to Saskatoon. Tomorrow night, our Red Sox open up their season against Swift Current. Joining the Sox from Colorado Springs, he just arrived a few days ago, catcher James Wright, who I had a chance to talk to first as he arrived in Regina.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
I can't imagine that you knew much about Regina before you came here, or did you?
I kind of asked around a little bit, but no one had too much information for me, so kind of came in blind a little bit, so didn't really know what to expect.
You come from Colorado Springs, where the air is a lot fresher and the mountainous terrain is nearby. It's pretty flat here. I assume that's the first thing you noticed.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely a lot more flat here, but as far as the weather, I mean, it feels pretty much the same as Colorado, so that wasn't too big of a change for me. But as far as the mountains go, yeah, this place is a little bit more flat, but other than that, I'm seeing a lot of similarities for sure.
You're coming to the Sox as a catcher. Catching is basically being, I think, a baseball ninja. So what's your secret superpower behind the plate?
Oh, man. Probably just be a wall. Just try to be a wall and be someone who, pitchers feel good throwing to and feel confident throwing to as well. Trying to stop everything that comes my way. So
what's it like as a catcher? Because as a kid, the ball doesn't seem to hit your glove as fast as it does now. It always amazes me. I'd flinch. When did you know you enjoyed baseballs flying at you at 100 miles an hour?
I'd say when I got to high school, because in middle school, I kind of dabbled with it a little bit. Didn't really enjoy it all that much, just because I didn't really know the beauty behind catching, if that makes sense. But once I started to realize it and, kind of open my arms to the whole catching thing, that's when I started to really enjoy it, and it's been history ever since.
Well, you're now a member of the Regina Red Sox. We're happy to have you here. What did the club tell you when they hired you and said, you know what, we want you to come play ball? What was it that sold you?
The main thing was the atmosphere of the games and the fans. And I was told how much, the fan base plays a role in this league and for the Red Sox specifically. So I think the culture of the fan base and just the atmosphere of the games is the one thing that really sealed the deal for me.
Right on. Okay, yeah, well, let's come up with a walk-up song for you, okay? All right, if you had to pick a walk-up song for your glove, what's it going to be?
Oh, man, that's a tough one. I'm kind of all over the place with walk-up songs here. But my one that I've been riding with the last year or two has been Houston, We Got a Problem by Luke Combs. That's kind of my lucky, walk-up song. I hear that, and I get dialed in. So
I love it. I love it.
Where I'm at with that.
James Wright is a new Red Sox member. He's the catcher, and I've enjoyed having you on the show here this morning and introducing you to all of Regina. The Regina Red Sox taking on Swift Current Thursday evening at Curry Field. It's your debut. You won't be nervous, right?
No, just excited. Just excited, ready to get after it.
Wish you well this season, my friend. Thanks for taking the time.
All righty. Yes, sir. Thank you for having me on.
There you go. There's a beauty song to be driving to work with the window down, the sunshine, a little Ventura Highway with America Beauty. Forecast this weekend, even the coming weekend, is going to be ultra hot. Joining me now, Kevin Martell from the 980 CJME Newsroom.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. You just talked about Red Sox game And
have you gone to Curry Field?
I've been there, yeah, several times over the last number of years. And, you know, it's one of those things where even if you don't like baseball, of course, a lot of people say, you know, baseball is a little bit slow for me. Yeah, you know, it's pretty affordable to go to and just go to a game. And, part of it is just the atmosphere of being to
outdoors,
ballpark, great food. It's just, you know, it's nice to be outside.
It's true. I've never been a baseball fan, but I love watching it live.
Yeah.
Just because of the food and the drink. I still find it very boring, even live. But you're right. There's something about being in a ballpark that makes it a lot better, too. Okay, so, Farmer's Market this morning. Talk about being outdoors. 50th anniversary. They're celebrating. They got some extra live entertainment and maybe a few anniversary treats.
But yeah, it's always busy. It's always busy there around the Victoria Park area. And yeah, it stands to be even busier now. But 50 years, when I read that, I was like, wow, that's an impressive milestone today. So yeah.
Over there. That's downtown today. But on Saturday mornings, they always do it in Confederation Park now at the Real District. So I'm not surprised. It came a little late yesterday afternoon, but through Truth Social, Trump sort of reacted to what the king had to say in Canada, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. And he's starting again talking about Canada becoming a 51st state in part. He's talking about specifically the Golden Dome. So his missile defense system that apparently Canada has, you know, showed some interest in. He says that Canada would spend $61 billion to be part of that dome or free. $0 if Canada becomes the 51st state. So we haven't heard a whole lot of that talk from him for a little while, but maybe coincidentally, not so coincidentally, right after the king's throne speech, after he delivered Mark Carney's throne speech, he started talking about it again.
So he brought up the 51st state again, and he ended that Truth Social post by saying they are considering the offer, which, you know, we've heard. There were conversations about it. I don't think we're considering an offer, but I think that's just Trump's way of, you know, trying to grab the headline again, right? From the king. So.
Yeah, and this is something that the prime minister has been very clear on, that Canada is not for sale.
Okay. Hey, some evacuees are in town from wildfires up north.
Yeah, they are. They're at the Real District. And, I mean, this is things are getting obviously bad up there. Pelican Narrows, 1,800 people have had to leave their homes. They've had to go, some of them to Saskatoon, and yes, some here to Regina, which we have housed northern evacuees, you know, in past years, some wildfires. Obviously hasn't happened in, well, at least a number of years, and already here we are not even in June, and they are battling not only that fire near Pelican Narrows, but the big one near Candle Lake, east of Candle Lake, a very popular time of year, a place to be this time of year. People are up there golfing or camping. Weddings happen up there. And so now, not only for the people going there, but for the people who live there for part of the year or have campers or trailers, some of those have already been destroyed. Some are threatened. And a lot of people are leaving now.
Okay. Kevin Martell from the 980 CJME Newsroom. I wasn't going to broach this subject with you, but I'm curious, Kevin. As a Jets fan, you've taken yourself out of the playoffs now, yeah, right? Or do you care at all what's happening with the Oilers' run one game away now from entering the Stanley Cup?
No, I'll still maybe not quite as intense as when the Jets were in, but you know, you know what I mean?
Will you be cheering for the Oilers?
I think, you know, at this point, it's hard not to, especially after last year and getting oh so close, almost coming back in the Stanley Cup final after being down 3-0. You almost kind of want to see them do it. It reminds me of, what was it, 2008, 2009, when it was Detroit against Pittsburgh for Stanley Cups. This is young Sidney Crosby. He fails the first time in his first Stanley Cup final, goes back the next year and does it. And I can't help but to think of Connor McDavid this year.
Yeah. It's different this year. So much depth. The mission seems stronger. The power play's picking up now. The defensive play last night was outstanding. I think this is the year. I've said all along, Florida and the Oil again, but I think they are going to win the Cup this year. And if you don't hear from me after they lose, I've taken time off. Okay? It's 6:57. T- Time to check in on the Riders training camp, which is, of course, moved back here in Regina. And CJME Rider reporter Britton Gray, who practices great sun care. Yesterday, I watched him lavish his body with sunscreen. Like every nook and cranny was just sunscreened. You're a good man. It was National Sunscreen Day earlier in the week here. And Britton, that's your key to your healthy skin, I guess, huh?
Absolutely. You gotta put on that sunscreen, especially when the sun is out like that. And I mean, it's hot down there by the field when you're watching practice, especially for 4 hours. A locker got to learn exactly how hot it gets down there. He wore jeans to practice yesterday, and I don't think he'll be doing that again.
No, not a good move. No. But let's have a look. I'm hearing the club is working on discipline a lot of practice this week. Tell me about that.
Yeah, it just felt like there's been some mental mistakes since the guys have gotten back into Regina, and Corey Mace even admitted that maybe some guys feel like it's mid-season already. You know, they're back at Regina feeling comfortable, and so some mental lapses. Yesterday, when players went offside, I've never seen this before. If a player went offside, they would have to run to the opposite end zone, and then they would be taken out of the drill. Their time in that drill would be done. That happened to a couple starters yesterday. So Corey Mace trying to really get these guys ready to go for the season. Those penalties can hurt you in a game, and he wants to try and get rid of those as much as he can.
That's a good one. It's short of putting some money in the jar. I like that discipline practice there. Injuries are starting to pile up, or are they?
Yeah, that list is starting to get a little bit longer about who's not participating in practice right now. First of all, we'll say that we finally got confirmation. Center Sean McEwen, torn ACL, so he's going to be done for the entire season. So that's a big loss there. But then a couple other guys not practicing right now. Jameer Thurman hasn't been out there. Nelson Lacombo was working along the sidelines. Well, sorry, for Jameer Thurman, he's out there just not participating. He has his bucket hat on, kind of just helping guys out a little bit. CJ Rivas hasn't been out there. Eric Anderson, their second-round rookie this season, has a hip injury. And it's starting to pile up a little bit here, Greg, which I know maybe a little bit of bad deja vu for Rider fans after all the injuries this team suffered last season.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. Jamarcus Hardrick, though, back?
Yeah, he is. You can tell this team really missed him. He's instead of chest-bumping guys in practice and possibly sending them into benches, he's throwing them over his shoulders, which is also a great way to celebrate. But he's such a – he brings a lot of perspective just as a veteran and what it takes to win in this league. And I think this team not only missed him on the field with what he can do, but also just kind of in that huddle to be that positive influence we see him being out there in training camp.
CJME Rider reporter Britton Gray. How about it was another windy day yesterday, less wind today. How were the quarterbacks receivers looking from what you saw?
Not bad. There were a few good passes out there. Trevor Harris, I thought, was very accurate for the most part. As you mentioned, the wind did cause a little bit of issues. There were a couple of thrown balls that you were just not too impressed by. But no, Trevor Harris, especially to Sam Emlis, I thought he had a really good pass to him down the field. And then it really does feel like he is slowly getting better through this training camp, and that's what you want to see from Trevor Harris.
Okay, set us up for the Bombers in-town preseason match on Friday. What do we need to know?
Corey Mace says there's a lot of battles still to be had. He said there's still positions they have to figure out. I'm very interested to see the returner game, if Trey McCray can kind of build what he did on preseason game one, and if Mario Alford gets a chance to show what he can do and show off his burst. He did look very fast in practice, and then it's going to be interesting how many series the starters end up playing, because they play again right on Thursday. It is a quick turnaround. I want to see a touchdown from the first team offense. They didn't look great, and that's really what we expected from them, just because the continuity, they brought back a lot of guys, same coaching staff, Mark Mueller's back. You want to see them score a touchdown to instill some confidence that they're ready to go for week one.
Britton Gray not really raising the bar, hoping to go to a football game and see a touchdown this weekend. Thank you.
That was a lot to ask for last week, Greg.
Oh, I got a lot to cover with my next guest here. Evan Ray and a preview of what's to come at 8:30. But first and foremost, we want to give a shout out to Bernie Eisworth. I don't know how many more times this guy can retire, but he retired again last night.
Well, that's right. Last night they had a retirement. He's been executive director or executive officer of the Saskatchewan Federation of Police Officers for a number of years. He retired from policing in 01.
Yeah.
Has been doing this job now for 24 years. Used to be the general manager of the Red Sox, retired from that.
Yep.
I think he just likes retirement parties.
It does. And enough is enough. Like, did you take a gift or did you say enough is enough?
We give him a gift and then we say, that's it, Bernie. No more retirements.
Okay. Congratulations, Bernie. He's a good guy. All right. Hey, this is something you and I can relate to because we both have partners that we look at and scratch our heads like, apparently, this is okay. Now, do you have a partner who looks at your dog and uses a baby voice like this?
That's a good boy.
Maya, it's okay. It's okay. She loves that voice.
My partner, she looks at Jet, the dog, and goes, do you want to kiss on your whippity whips? Whippity whips. Like, she uses language you would never hear. Oh, what about Jody?
Yeah, Jody is famous for that with Big Mike as well. She loves that dog, but...
Does she ever turn and start talking to you like that?
No. I don't get anywhere near the attention Mike does.
It happens in my household. It's so bizarre. But apparently, in a recent experiment, they found that dogs really do love high-pitched voices and respond better to that. So keep doing what you do, I guess.
Because that's why Mike never... He cowers when I call him.
let's talk about what's going on up north with these wildfires. Now, around Candle Lake, a lot of people there want to get a bit of a buffer, if you will. It's something that's a hot topic, and no pun intended there by no means, just because a lot of people are concerned that if they don't put a brake in, they might lose. They say not yet. They're not discounting the idea, but you've heard from some that are taking it in their own
hands. I was at this retirement last night, as you were talking about, for Bernie Eisworth. There's lots of police officers there and people that are from Prince Albert, have cabins in the Candle Lake area. And, I mean, farmers are taking this into their own hands. Farmers are not waiting. They're frustrated that the SPSA, in their mind, is taking too long to make a decision. And they're jumping in their bulldozers, in their tractors, and they're doing what they can to try and protect the properties around there, protect the people, because it's that fire is encroaching. It's so big and it's encroaching at a rapid pace.
Evacuees have arrived in Regina too. And we actually, Abby Zimmer is our reporter who is on the scene here. I think she's heading over to near the Real District where some of the evacuees, and we'll hear from her shortly here as well too. The throne speech yesterday, the king, I was just shocked at how many people show up to watch outside. That, you know, I'm not a huge fan of the monarchy for no other reason than I just don't care as much.
It doesn't impact your life.
But man, a lot of Canadians do. That really surprised me. How many people showed up?
You kind of got both sides of it, right? Because you've got people that travel from all over Canada. And then I talked to a bunch of people yesterday who are like, who cares? I don't necessarily like the king. I think he is boring. Yeah. I think his speech was boring. But, you know, to me, it's not just about the speech. It's the symbolism of the king coming over here, which you have to admit doesn't happen often. But what about the content of the speech? And that's what I want to talk about a little bit today. I've got Andrew Scheer, who, of course, House Leader for the Conservatives. He'll be joining me on the show to... bit of a deeper dive into that. I mean, the Conservatives have said for a long time, their speaking points are what you're hearing the Liberals say. So are they supportive of some of the things that they've heard in that speech?
We waited for it, and we finally got it through True Social late yesterday afternoon. A bit of a reaction from Trump talking about how it's going to cost Canada $61 billion, and they're considering the offer to get in on the Golden Dome. And he said, if you want to avoid it and $0, become our cherished 51st state.
You knew that was coming.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll have more to say today, though.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure he will. And on that note, I've got General Rick Hillier on tomorrow telling
us... Oh, he's great. He
knows
a lot.
Whether or not we should join in on this Golden Dome thing.
Yeah,
for
sure.
So we'll have a talk about
that. And you've got the acting chief of police coming on today.
That's right. Laura Lee Davies will pop by. They just released yesterday in their Board of Police Commissioners meeting their use of force stats. Of course, they recently found out the reason why a person who was in their custody died in cells. It had to do with the fact that they were trying to smuggle drugs to the correctional center. So we'll talk about what can be done to prevent that from happening and a whole lot more with Laura Lee.
Evan Bray back here at 8:30.